All right, guys, you are locked on Falcons. I'm your host, Aaron Freeman, and today I am joined by SB Nation's Charles McDonald. We're going to be talking about the Giants game as well as the first half of the Falcons 2018 season.
You are locked on Falcons, your daily podcast on the Atlanta Falcons, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
So, guys, you know me. I'm Aaron Freeman. Been covering the Falcons for many years at FalcFans.com, on Twitter at FalcFans, and, of course, I'm the host of this illustrious Locked On Falcons podcast. I am joined by none other than SB Nation's own former Falcoholic, Setting the Edge. You can find him on Bootleg Podcast with Mina Kimes, as well as many other places out there on the interwebs. Of course, Charles McDonald. Welcome back to the show, Charles.
What's up? What's up? It's been a minute, and you know, thankfully for this season, I haven't had to focus on the Falcons too much, at least in terms of my work. So that's a positive. But we're coming off a win on Monday, which is nice, and has felt like a fleeting feeling in the 2018 season. So at least there's something positive to talk about.
Yes, it has been a minute. You're right, because last time you were on this podcast, it was right before training camp. So we really were sort of having no idea that how the season would go, and obviously it hasn't necessarily gone as well as people would have hoped. But we'll talk about that a little bit later. Let's jump right in and talk about the Giants game. You mentioned it's a win, not necessarily the offense that we had grown accustomed to seeing for most of this season, at least out of the gates. But the Falcons were able to put things together and put some points on the board. Starting in the second quarter, and we saw a much better defensive performance than we've grown accustomed to seeing this season. I'm curious, how much do you think that is the Falcons defense coming alive versus the Giants offense being poo-poo?
I think it's more the Giants offense just being awful. I mean, both offensive lines in that game were just completely atrocious. And I think when you look at the Falcons' defensive line and how they're built, athleticism, if you have way more athleticism than offensive line, that's usually a way to beat them. And I think that's kind of what happened with the Falcons. Like, Grady came back off the ankle injury and got, what, two sacks, a couple TFLs, stopped one of the dumb Eli Manning QB sneaks at the end of the game. Even Vic got a few pressures. Tack got a sack where he just bullied through Nate Solder. So, I think that that game kind of showed you or showed what you've been talking about a lot recently with the fans, is where you talk about, yeah, the secondary play and the linebacker play could be a little bit better, but that all gets easier if you can rush the passer and make plays in the backfield. And that's kind of what we saw on Monday night against the Giants. And hopefully it showed fans that, you know, defensive line is kind of where they need to be focusing their energies instead of, I guess, a strong safety or a weak side linebacker, what have you. But yeah, I would put that more on the Giants just not being able to execute at all, really. I mean, Eli Manning had a pretty big statistical day, but they couldn't really get it done in the red zone, so it didn't matter too much. But yeah.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, basically, that's kind of what the Falcons' defense has been the last couple of weeks. They got, you know, those turnovers last week against Tampa Bay. One of them was in the red zone, in the end zone, on a Brian Poole interception, and they got some early stops in the red zone against the Giants offense this week. So it does seem like they're just basically going to have to be a bend but don't break defense and let teams just basically march the ball up the field and hopefully get some stops in the red zone. And if they can, you know, keep it going on offense, that could be a winning formula. We'll sort of see later in the season when we face some teams, you know, that have better than Eli Manning caliber quarterbacks, which you can make an argument is pretty much every team the Falcons face the rest of the season. But, you know, with guys like Aaron Rodgers and whatnot, we'll see sort of how that plays out. But, yeah, I think the defensive line, as you mentioned, is sort of where the Falcons' bread needs to be buttered moving forward. And I think if, you know, we can see them take advantage of some favorable matchups, like I think they did in this Giants game, where you had guys like Spencer Pulley and Chad Wheeler, who really have no business starting NFL games, and the Falcons showed that. And so, you know, coming up, they'll have a couple of players that they'll face on some of these offensive lines that, you know, may be a little bit underwhelming, and if they can sort of take advantage of that, maybe that can allow the defense to at least look a little bit competent for a couple of quarters and allow them to win some games.
Yeah.
I want to talk more about sort of what this season has brought in a moment, but I want to let people know that the NBA season is back, and you can find a Locked On podcast devoted to all 30 NBA teams, including the Atlanta Hawks, where you can check out host Brad Rowland giving you daily updates on that team. Find that podcast and so many more wherever you get your Locked On podcast, your NBA team every day. Now, the age-old question that they always ask in the Samuel L. Jackson voice is, what do Falcons do? And they rise up, of course. Well, they haven't been doing that as of much lately, although they've gotten things going in the right direction. But perhaps you guys are looking for ways of rising up yourself by increasing your performance and getting that extra confidence boost in bed. And you can do that now by heading over to BlueChew.com. That's right. Blue, like the color blue, because BlueChew.com brings you the first chewable with the same FDA-approved active ingredients as Viagra and Cialis. This stuff works, and you can take it anytime, day or night, even on a full stomach. And since they're chewable, they work up to twice as fast as a pill. So unlike the Falcons, you can be ready whenever the opportunity rises up. Blue Chew is prescribed online and shipped straight to your door in a discreet package, so no more in-person doctor's visits, no more waiting in the line at the pharmacy, and best of all, no more awkwardness. Blue Chew is made in the United States, and since Blue Chew prepares and ships direct, they're cheaper than any pharmacy. Right now, we've got a special deal for our Locked On Falcons listeners. Visit BlueChew.com and get your first shipment free when you use the special promo code Locked On. Just pay $5 for shipping. Again, that's BlueChew.com. Use the promo code Locked On to try it for free. Blue Chew is the better, cheaper, faster choice, and we thank them for sponsoring this podcast. So, Charles, let's talk about the first half of the season, unless you have any other additional comments about the Giants game.
No, I just want to see if Julio Jones can get 2,000 receiving yards with zero touchdowns. Like, I think that, you know, obviously we all love Julio and he's great and he's the best receiver in Falcons history, but if he could get 2,000 yards and zero touchdowns, that would just be an absolutely hilarious feat. I mean, he's on pace for like 1,860 yards. So, you know, the receiving yards pace has got to go up a little bit, but we're right on track with zero touchdowns. So that's what I want to see this season.
Yeah, I mean, isn't there like the season record, like 18-something for receiving yards?
I think Calvin Johnson said it a few years ago, and it was like 19. It was like a little over 1,900 yards, I think.
Okay.
He could hit that. And I mean, he almost did break it in 2015. So, you know, not uncharted territory, but zero touchdowns. He's already almost broken the record for most receiving yards this season without a touchdown. Like, I think he only needs like less than 100 yards to get there, because I think the record's 912 yards. So, you know, we're entering historic territory here.
Okay. Yeah. Well, I don't know if he can get 2,000, but if he can get the single season yards record and get zero touchdowns, that would be pretty significant. So I'll root for that for the time being. But, you know, when we had you on back in July, we sort of had question marks about Sark and sort of wondering what, you know, expecting that he would bounce back this year, but not necessarily knowing how much that would be. Obviously, you know, he's had a pretty good season, you know, at least if you just don't count the road games with the Falcons offense. I'm curious, sort of, what is the biggest factor to why Sark has been able to turn around? You think it's just experience? You think it's just Matt Ryan being more comfortable, understanding who his weapons are, Calvin Ridley? You know, what are your thoughts on sort of some of the biggest factors why you think the offense has sort of made this big leap forward?
Well, you know, what's funny, if you look at what the Falcons did on offense last year, like they have a pretty, they, I mean, even last year, they had a pretty easy time moving the ball into the red zone, but like we all know, they just could not convert like at all to save their lives. And this year, they've been able to do it. And I think one thing that's helped them is they just kind of ignored, except for, you know, that drive where they threw it to him three times in a row. They've kind of ignored Julio in the red zone and chosen to spread the ball out, whether it's throwing to Hooper or Tevin Coleman or running in with E.O. Smith, what have you. Like, I think that they've gotten a little bit more creative once they get down there. And I think that when you look at where the big points boost has come from, outside of that Monday night game and some of their away games, it's like that performance in the red zone. So, you know, the Falcons have played a ton of home games over the first month of the season. So I think fans should be a little bit wary if that can continue through the second half of the season, because they're going to be on the road a lot. So I think that the red zone performance is obviously like where the improvement has come from the most, but it's all coming home, and they've struggled on the road, but they've only scored. Well, how many points did they score versus Philly? 10?
12, I think.
So they scored 12 versus Philly and then 17 versus Pittsburgh, and those are the only two road games they played. So you still got six more coming in the final nine games of the season, and it's just kind of can this team play offense on the road? I don't really know what the big issue is for them there, but that's got to be one area of concern. But the red zone play should be encouraging to people.
What are your thoughts on sort of Calvin Ridley? And, you know, has he been everything you hoped he was, more than what you expected him to be?
I think he's been about what I expect him to be. I'm kind of surprised that he hasn't taken over a little bit bigger role in the offense, just because it just seems like no one can really cover him. Even when you look on the All-22 and he's not getting targets, like, he's still breaking ankles out there against cornerbacks. So just in terms of him being a route runner, like, he's been everything that I think most people who really dove into the film would expect. But I kind of thought that you would see his workload expand after he exploded those first few weeks, but it didn't. And regression comes to everyone, and we're kind of seeing that with the touchdowns. But I still think he's a really good player. I mean, when is time for him to expand to that full-time number two role, whenever Muhammad Sanu moves on, I think he'll be more than capable. And, you know, it's kind of weird with Ridley, because you look at games like where you have the three touchdowns or the two touchdown games or the game versus, or even plays that he made on Monday versus the Giants, and you go, okay, man, like, that's kind of a cool use of a first round pick. But then you look at games where the defense is depleted, and, you know, they could get by with somebody else that's not Calvin Ridley at that number three spot. I mean, I'm sure Justin Hardy could do probably not as well as Ridley, but do a fine job. And you kind of wonder what would happen if they had spent that pick on like a premium defensive lineman. But Ridley's a good player, and he's going to be a vital piece to this offense moving on. I think what Ridley really brings is he ensures that the offense won't fall off a cliff once Sanu moves on. And I think that one thing this front office has learned is when Roddy left and he started playing well, like, they didn't have anyone ready to go across from Julio, and now they do. So that kind of secures a long-term palpability of the offense.
Yeah, yeah. I'm also curious about what are your, you know, you mentioned when we talked about the Giants game that the offensive line has been bad. Do you feel like the team is going to have to shake up this offensive line quite a bit this offseason, or do you feel like this unit is still a little salvageable?
I don't know. It's just the big question to me is, like, what do you do with Ryan Schrader? Because I don't think he's played particularly well this season. I mean, he's getting beat by guys like you wouldn't even consider Ryan Schrader getting beat by even just 2 years ago or a year ago. I don't know if this is where maybe age is catching up to him or mileage is catching up to him. I'm not really sure, or if this is just kind of a little aberration in his play. But it's just kind of curious to see, is this the guy that's going to be there at right tackle next year? And even if he is, they still might need to do something at the guard spots. I felt a little bit better about Alex Mack than I was early in the season. I think his play has improved. I think Jake Matthews has been great this season, but the guard play could stand to improve. And with Brandon Fusco now going on IR, out for the rest of the year with an ankle injury, and Wes Schweitzer is fine, but you can do better than him. And I don't think Lavitre is going to be back on the team next year. I think you do have some questions on the interior of the offensive line, the guard spots, but those were probably going to have to be addressed anyways. But now you have the question of Ryan Schrader, like, what do you do with this? I mean, he does have a contract that's pretty easy to cut in the offseason, but at the same time, we have seen him play a lot of good football. It's just kind of trying to figure out what Ryan Schrader is going to be in 2019.
Yeah, and you know, I think you're right. It's a little bit of a conflict because if you have a hole at that right tackle spot, that's going to be a problem. Because next year they play the AFC South, and, you know, with the exception of Indianapolis, although the way that Marcus Hunt is playing is ridiculous. But, like,
he's coming on nicely too.
Yeah, so it's one of those things where it's like, if you're going to play the AFC South and you got guys like J.J. Watt and Ngakoue and Campbell, if you have a hole at that right tackle spot, if you get rid of Schrader or you keep him and he doesn't improve, it's going to be a big problem, at least in those four games, not to mention whoever the other matchups, at the, you know, Cameron Jordan, et cetera. So, you know, I think you're right with the guard. You sort of already knew going into the offseason that they were going to have to at least get somebody in the draft to at least compete there and push Schweitzer and Fusco or replace Lavitre. But if you're also needing to replace a right tackle, and truth be told, like, if you want a rookie to come in and start right away, you kind of have to take him in the first round, because after that point, you're just basically playing with fire, because just the level of pass rushers and the quality of offensive tackles coming out in draft just drops off a steep cliff after you get after like pick 20 or so, for the most part. So it's going to be an interesting conundrum that the Falcons are in. They might just wind up keeping Schrader just because they may not have better options. Throwing a rookie out there just may not be ideal, but we'll see how that goes. But I do want to talk a little bit more about sort of your thoughts on the first seven games and how the defense has performed in a moment. But I do want to let people know about fantasy football. Check out both Locked On Fantasy Football shows on the Locked On Podcast Network. The first one is Locked On Fantasy Football 24/7. Get your injury news and updates from around the league to help you win each and every weekend. Also check out Locked On Football with host Vinny Iyer, where you get a new fantasy expert every day to help you win your season. Find those wherever you get your Locked On podcasts, your fantasy team every day. So, Charles, let's talk about the defense. We know that they've been terrible. You seem to subscribe to the theory that, you know, if the defensive line can play better, that you can sort of at least try to mask some of the issues that the Falcons have at linebacker and at safety. You know, one of the things that we've talked about is sort of the 2018 draft class looks pretty good. They've been sort of forced to play a little bit more than I think a lot of us thought going into the season that they would. But, you know, you've seen flashes from Oliver. He's been a little bit up and down, but you've seen flashes from him. You've seen flashes from Sanat. You've seen Olakun putting things together. So what are your thoughts on this, at least the future of this defense, that maybe they're going to have to go through some growing pains in 2018, but at least maybe the arrow's still pointing a little bit up for 2019 and beyond?
Yeah, I think, like you said, I mean, Nathan got off of this year. There's no pretending that they haven't. But when you kind of, if you're going to look at it in the positive light, hopefully everyone in 2019 or for the most part can stay healthy. And now you have some backups with some valuable game experience, like Foyer, Olukun. Like, if Deion Jones is healthy, he's not getting these reps at all. You have KZ, who's been, I mean, great as the fill-in for Ricardo Allen. Isaiah Oliver's getting reps. Like, it's good for them, but at the same time, you just want to see if they can improve in the second half of the season, because I think that this weekend, in terms of the Falcons' playoff chances, was, even though they won, it was a pretty brutal hit because all three of the NFC South teams won and kind of kept them at arm's distance in that race. So that kind of hurt a little bit. I don't think the Falcons are going to make the playoffs. But even if they don't, you can just kind of just pay attention to the progress the defense makes. And, you know, over the last two seasons, we have kind of seen the defense tighten up in the second half of the season. So, you know, maybe that happens again. But I wouldn't bank on it just because they just haven't played well at all this season. I don't really know. You know, I don't think you can fix Jordan Richards getting run over constantly by week, or, you know, fix Duke Riley not figuring out how to read a run pass set or figure out how to tackle in the box. Like, I don't think you can really fix, I don't really think you can teach that in a few weeks. So, but like you said, the Sanat, like Deidre Sanat, I think for a third round defensive tackle, that's going to be a nose tackle. You got to be pretty pleased with what you've gotten from him so far. And if you can add another guy, whether in free agency or early in the draft, like, that could be a pretty nice defensive tackle rotation right there. Isaiah Oliver, I think I'm still pretty high on him. Like, if you want to get a good screenshot of what Isaiah Oliver's season has looked like, just go watch the Bengals game and you'll see. Well, I think on the last drive, he broke up a pass right before the AJ Green play, right?
Yeah.
Yeah, that's so, you know, like, you really do see the physical ability and you see the willingness to tackle, things that you didn't really see with Jalen Collins his first year in the league. So I think if you're looking at Isaiah Oliver just from the prospect of a first year corner that I don't think they planned on playing him much at all this season and kind of had to be forced into the lineup due to play and injuries. I'm pretty pleased with him. So, yeah, you got some young guys. It's like playing pretty well. It's not all lost, but as a whole, you just kind of want to see if this defense can take a tiny little step over the back half of the season before you head into the offseason.
Yeah, I don't know where they currently project right now, but I know for a while there they were on pace to be one of like the two or three worst defenses of all time in terms of points allowed. And I'm pretty sure they're still sort of on pace to be in like the top 10 of all time. They kind of need to get out of that zone so we don't necessarily talk about this defense as being one of the worst of all time. You know, I thought we sort of got past that after 2014. So I'm with you in terms of getting them to improve at least to a level where they're just not all time bad. You know, they can certainly be 2018 bad, but I just don't want them to be, you know, almost 90 years of NFL history bad. I think the interesting thing is going to be with the D-line rotation, because we kind of talked about the offensive line and sort of what changes they're going to need. And, you know, I think Jack Crawford has played, you know, much better, at least as of late, than I expected him to play this season, and been providing some steady pass rush inside with that spin move. You got Deidre Sanat playing the rundowns. You got Grady Jarrett, obviously, Tack McKinley. You know, who knows what's going to happen with Vic Beasley. It seems that either you fall into the camp of they got to get rid of Vic Beasley as soon as possible, which seems to be the majority of people, at least the ones I talk to, or you fall in the camp of, you know, Vic Beasley's still good and not to give up hope on him. I'm sort of curious where you fall on that spectrum.
I don't think you have to get rid of him right away, but you have to bring in legitimate competition for him in the offseason. Like, there's there are just too many plays where he doesn't do anything, you know, and I don't really know how else to explain it, where he's just not making an impact in any way. Like, sometimes it just feels like you might as well go out there with 10 guys, because either he's going to, you know, do a little speed rush and just get washed 10 yards up away from the quarterback outside the pocket, or he does a bull rush and he gets stonewalled, or like on Monday night, he plays someone like Chad Wheeler and he has the first step and beats him and Chad just kind of sits on him. So I don't really know what the long-term plan with Vic Beasley is, because it's hard to move on from someone that flashed that much in their first 2 years in the league, but he hasn't, he's just not that type of player. And even if he was overrated in the past, which he was, because it's not like he, even in his 2016 season, it's not like he was getting a lot of pressures, but he was converting those pressures into sacks. But one thing that he used to do is, like, he used to at least beat the bad offensive tackle. Like, he used to at least just whip their ass constantly throughout the games. And now he's not even that guy anymore, to me at least. So I don't know what the long-term plan is. For fans who want him gone now, I would say don't hold your breath because he's probably going to be on the roster next year. But they definitely need to bring in some stiff, serious competition for him because maybe he's just a guy that needs that push. And regardless, they could stand to get a lot better in that area.
Okay. Charles, I appreciate it. Do you have any thoughts on Giorgio Tavecchio or special teams or anything like that?
I thought the call to kick the 56-yard field goal was dumb, but they made it, so it didn't matter. And that was a pretty cool performance for Giorgio, because I know that we all had high expectations for the kicker spot after what Matt Bryan has given us over the years. And, you know, for him to come in and kick those field goals, including the 56-yard field goal, that was just a pretty cool moment to see.
Yeah, yeah. So, Charles, go ahead and plug all the places where people can find you on the interwebs.
You can find me on Twitter at @4verts, mainly just doing a lot of stuff for SB Nation in terms of total NFL league coverage. Still occasionally doing the podcast, Setting the Edge with Justice Mosqueda, but our schedules just don't really match up that well anymore. We're both busy. But we do have some cool stuff being worked on behind the scenes with the injustice, just in terms of, like, I don't know, ranking quarterbacks and dumb stuff like that people love to argue about. And you can hear me on the Bootleg podcast with Mina Kimes today on ESPN. It's like, I don't know what I'm about to say. It's like, it's just a football podcast run by Mina Kimes. We talked a lot about the Falcons at the end of the episode that she just published today. So definitely check that out. If you're over the Super Bowl loss, you should check that out for sure.
Okay. All right. Charles, I appreciate it. I look forward to talking with you closer to the end of the season, maybe hopefully revisiting some of the thoughts that we had on today's episode and seeing if some of those things come true. So appreciate it, man.
Sure. Later.
All right. Have a good night.
All right. You too.
So tomorrow, I guess, what did I say? It'll be a Q&A. So if you have questions, send those in. And you can do so on Twitter at @FalFans. If it's podcast related, just let me know in that tweet. But it's just easier to go ahead and send it over to Locked On Falcons. That's the show's Twitter handle, which I know will be podcast related if you send it there. If you prefer Facebook as your social media platform, you can check us out at Locked On Falcons there. If you don't like social media, then you can always just email me at lockedonfalcons@mail.com. And you can leave a comment at falfans.com. So tomorrow we should do a Q&A talking about maybe some of the All-22 stuff, my general thoughts on the Falcons season so far. You know, the benefit of the bye week is we can be reflective on things. We'll be back certainly next week with some guests that will come on and join me and talk about the Falcons season as well as other topics. And that's what you have to look forward to during this excellent bye week. And then we'll get you guys set for the Browns. I gotta remember. I know it's Browns, Redskins, right? Then it's Cowboys. Yeah, Saints. Okay. I got that part of the schedule memorized. No, Redskins, Browns. Okay. Okay. I've been thinking it's the... Okay. Redskins, Browns, Cowboys, Saints. All right. All right. I've been flipping thinking it was the Browns first. Okay. So, yeah, that's what we'll get you guys geared up for. And until then.
You are Locked On Falcons, your daily Atlanta Falcons podcast. Part of the Locked On Podcast Network. Your team every day.